Huh? Hey, on a serious note, I just want to say thank you to Armin as well, our creative pastor. If you've noticed all these cool new graphics that may not look like much, but man, they're super creative, they're super crisp and clear, and there's a team behind that are taking photos and helping him with online stuff. It's just so cool to see the team live out their gifts. And so part of that card is giving you a chance to use your gifts to partner with Hope, to unleash hope. Not just here, but also outside of the walls here to help you be creative in your world, just like we were created to create, which I'll talk about here in a second. All right, with all that being said, I'm excited to be teaching today. As always, it's always an honor. I want to give a shout out to our Hope Kids team. I always think it's important to highlight them because they too are in spaces right now doing the same exact thing, just in different kind of creative ways. And so that's a great team that you can think about being on here at Hope Tri-Cities. But who here loves it when the Wi-Fi goes down? And raise your hand. Some of you do, right? Because you actually get to unplug from the world. We're so reliant upon it now. But what do you typically do? You don't have to say it out loud, but what do you typically do when the Wi-Fi goes down? What have you been coached to do or taught to do? If you're like me, you're told to go and unplug the what? The router, right? Count to 30, count to 60, and then plug it back in and boom, now you can work for Geek Squad. Pretty neat, right? And so it's funny how a simple fix like that can, by unplugging it just for a little bit and then plugging it back in, can fix Wi-Fi, which I still don't understand to this day because it's in the cloud. It's crazy to me. And then I was just talking to my dad before service, and he was having a problem with his TV, and he's like, he wanted me to come over because he thinks I work for Geek Squad and to fix his TV, right? And I wasn't able to get over there, and he told me this morning, thank you, Jesus, it's fixed. And he did it by just turning it off and on multiple times and probably saying some words that I can't repeat, and then voila, there it is. So I want to share a quote with you this morning, and here's what it says. Almost everything will work again if you unplug it for a few minutes, including you. Today's talk is going to be on finding rest in slowing down. As we get ready for tomorrow, if you're a student here, who's excited for Monday tomorrow? Yeah? Back at it? Parents, who's excited? Yeah, let's go. Why is it louder for that one, but not the first one, huh? Well, hey, Christmas break is a rare time, right? It's when life really slows down, especially if you're a student, especially if you work in the educational world, or you get to take time off, depending on when the holidays fall, on what days. But it offers us a time of rest and renewal. Same thing as it leaks into the new year. There are days where we can just unplug from the grind of life, the grind of work, the stresses, all of it. And then I want you to go back for me for a second and put yourself back in your young shoes of being in school. And the best feeling in the world is when you wake up in the wintertime and your mom or dad or whoever you live with comes in and says, hey, school's canceled because it's a snow day, right? There's something special about a snow day. I don't know what it is. It's almost like time stops, even as an adult. It just, and all of a sudden, it's the best day. The day feels longer. You're happy. It's just a great feeling. But here's what I want us to catch. These moments, slow time, schedules in our minds, they allow us to be present with God, with others, and even with ourselves. But there's tension. And this is where I want to talk about today is why don't we live this way all the time? Why do we resist slowing down and insist on carrying life's heavy burdens alone? Catch that. I didn't say just insist on carrying life's burdens, but carrying life's burdens alone. You see, we like to overload ourselves with work, schedules, responsibilities, chasing accomplishments, and productivity. I am as guilty as anybody. One of my favorite coaches of all time is Lou Holtz. He coached Notre Dame for many years. Legendary college football coach, legendary leadership guy. He said this, it is not the load that breaks you down, it's the way you carry it. Here's the consequences of this lie of just go, go, go. You see, when this happens, stress becomes a badge of honor. Relationships suffer. I'm guilty of that. Mental, emotional, and spiritual health are neglected. Relationships are neglected, guilty. I want to share a story with you today from a man's name who I'm going to try to say the right way. His name is Dante Alighieri. And he lived a very busy life in his day, something that is now hundreds of years later is still talked about and he's remembered for because he did something that was very influential in his time. He wrote a lot of literature. But before he did all that, I want to back up a little bit in his story. And in 1302, Dante was exiled from his home in Florence due to political conflict with the Pope of his day in Florence. And he had to leave behind his community, his family, his possessions, his stability, all of it. And I encourage you to look up his story. It's fascinating. He wandered Europe after being exiled, and he was in this deep personal struggle. He was seeking shelter wherever he could find it. He was seeking purpose from being exiled from his home. Until one night, he was so desperate that he found himself knocking on the door of a monastery, and a priest or the monk answered the door and asked him, "What do you want?" And his reply was one word: rest. You see, Dante was on this journey of finding rest, not just physically, but for his soul. He was restless. And it was during this time of wandering in his story where he was able to reflect between 1308 and 1320, where he wrote a very famous piece of literature called The Divine Comedy. It's a poetic journey about a man on a journey through life, the ups and downs, a man who experiences death, experiences hell, experiences purgatory, and then experiences paradise. It's a fascinating read. I was able to read a bunch of summaries, and my goal is to read the whole entire thing, but it's kind of hard to read because of the language barrier. But if you summarize the story of this literature, here's what it is. In his will is our peace. That was the whole premise of this literature. In the midst of his own life of being restless and trying to find purpose and find the word that he said to that monk that day when he was pounding on the door, rest, the thing that he used in his creative writing was, in his will is our peace. Which brings me to Jesus. Like Dante, we are all on a journey. It's called life. And sometimes this journey has valleys, and sometimes it has mountaintops. But there's a lot of in between. There's a lot of ups and downs. There's the planting, there's the cultivating, and there's the harvest, and then it repeats all over again. And usually the harvest is very fast, the planting is pretty quick, but the cultivating is long. But you see, Jesus invites us into a never-ending adventure of rest and renewal, not just in eternity, but the hope is here and now in your life. Where you find yourself at with Jesus, no matter where you're at with him, no matter where your marriage is at, no matter where you're at with just what age you're at, what stage of life you're at, he longs to be in relationship with you. Which brings me to today's scripture that we're going to sit in today. Just three verses found in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. In this passage, it talks about the longing for rest, this search for peace. It's the same invitation that Jesus extended to his crowd of that day that he still extends to us today. And it says this. I'm going to read two different translations. This first one I'm going to read, and then we'll talk about it. It says, "Come to me, all of you who are tired and have heavy loads. I will give you rest. Accept my teaching. Learn from me. I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will be able to get some rest. Yes, the teaching that I ask you to accept is easy. The load I give you to carry is light." I like to always kind of focus on who was Jesus talking to? Why did he use this language with them? What was going on before and what happened after? It kind of puts everything in perspective for me. And when you study who he was talking to in this moment, they were ordinary people, farmers, fishermen, hard laborers who were exhausted by the physical demands of daily life back then. Life back then was very hard when it came to just doing life every day, because they had to do so much just to get through a day so they could have a better day the next day or just have a normal day the next day. But you see, beyond the physical work, they also were struggling at this time with a spiritual and emotional burden that was imposed by them, or being imposed by them, by the Pharisees and the religious leaders of that day. These group of people, the Pharisees and the religious leaders, were continuing to add and turning God's law into a bunch of rules and traditions and adding unnecessary weight to people's lives. They continued to add checklist after checklist of what you had to do to quote unquote be right with God. And at this time, it was beginning to weigh on the people, and they were feeling this heavy burden of not just life, but also being right with God. They taught that righteousness was achieved through strict adherence to laws. Like, it was all about the law, making people feel little and inadequate. But then Jesus condemned this system in this moment. He says they tie up heavy loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. That's Jesus' words later on in Matthew 23. So back to today's verse, though, the Pharisees' rules, our modern culture piles on expectations, career success, social perfection, and relentless productivity. We are constantly being presented new ways to live, new resolutions to live out, new systems, new technology, which is all good, but it's just more, more, more. But back to Matthew 11, chapter 11, verse 28 and 30. Here's another translation. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Let's talk about this word yoke. Some of you are probably familiar with this. Yoke was a wooden harness that was placed on the necks of oxen or other animals in that time, in that day, linking them together to pull a plow or a cart. What did this do? It distributed the load between the animals, the weight that they were pushing or pulling, and making the work more manageable for them so they could get more done. Why is this important to what Jesus said? Because in the Jewish culture, in that day, the word yoke was often used as a metaphor for a submission to a rabbi's teaching or a way of life. The Pharisees' yoke was the opposite. It was all about heavy and burdensome, filled with impossible rules and expectations. But you see, Jesus offered a radically different kind of yoke. And what's really cool is, as you know, Jesus came from a carpenter family. And in those days, it was very common in the marketplace for many carpenters above their shops to have a sign that would read, "Our yokes are light," as a way to advertise their business. And so what I love is Jesus grew up, he was seeing these signs. And then in his day of ministry, he used their marketplace, their language, their culture to reach an audience of people who would relate to that, hear that, and understand that. But this different kind of yoke, one that was easy, is the same for us today. You see, Jesus' yoke doesn't weigh us down. It lifts us up. And when we walk with him, we're not alone. He bears the weight that we were never meant to carry. But so often, we find ourselves trying to carry our burdens alone. And Pastor Angel talked about this a minute ago. In 2025, a lot of people like to make New Year's resolutions. And I'm all about setting new goals and doing things like that. I believe in it. I think it's productive. I think there's health in it. But what I'm not a fan of is that just because it's 2025 does not mean that the burdens or the worries or the doubts or the fears or the insecurities go away when the clock hits 12 o'clock. Like, we came in here today, it's just another day. Just because it's 2025 does not mean all those things magically disappear. And what I said earlier is these heavy burdens, that we carry are a lot of times just a product of life. Jesus has never promises us that those burdens would go away or be gone, but he does promise us that he'll do it with us. He'll carry it with us. And in the midst of that, that's when those broken doubts and fears can go away. Those addictions can go away. Healings can happen. But we first have to put on our yoke and carry it with Jesus. And that's where I bring it back to someone here today, whether they're online or in person here, no matter where you're at with Jesus, just remember you are not alone. You were never meant to carry the burdens of life alone. Which brings me back to this card today. This card says partnership. And what I love about the word partnership is the word partner is in partnership. Who would have thought? And I would even go a step further and say, not only were we not supposed to do life without Jesus, we aren't designed to do life alone. Like this, we are all a product and living out who Jesus is amongst each other. And my challenge for us moving forward as a church is that we would continue to challenge one another to share our burdens. Because a lot of times, if you're like me, and I am guilty of this, I like to hide my burdens because I'm ashamed of them or what people are going to think about me or they're going to think less of me or it might ruin a relationship. And so I just try to figure it out on my own and I just keep striving and striving. But as I'm doing that, I'm dying from the inside out. And I can speak to that because I've lived that. But see, I believe we're supposed to live over here with each other where it's okay to confess our sins, confess our addictions, confess things that we're struggling with, poor choices, life happens kind of things, so that we as a church can throw on our yoke together and carry those together. Another one of our core values on there, it says unity. We want to be unified as a body. The more you study the church of their day, post Jesus' resurrection, that's what they lived out so extremely well. Back to Lou Holtz's great quote, it is not the load that breaks you down, it's the way you carry it. We chase success. We strive for success, approval, achievement, thinking that'll satisfy us. If I just get to, if I just save this, if I just achieve this, but we just end up being more exhausted and unfulfilled, just like Dante in his day, to the point where he had to pound on the church's door and ask for rest. Because it's in his will is where we find our peace. And that's my challenge for you today. It's in his will where we find our peace. It's in his will where we find healing. It's in his will where we find hope. It's in his will where relationships are restored. It's in his will where dreams are birthed. It's in his will where we discover the most incredible gift ever given to humans, and that's the Holy Spirit. It's in his will. And I love that terminology because when you go to Jesus' prayer in the garden before he was wrongfully arrested and then wrongfully tortured and killed, he prayed for God's will. But he didn't want it because he knew what it was going to take. And so I love that moment there because it shows that his will doesn't mean it's going to be easy. His will does not mean all of a sudden all will be well. But he'll do it with you. He'll walk with you. You see, your worth, this is what I want you to catch, isn't in what you do. It's in who God says you are, his beloved. And remember that. Because culture tells us differently. You see, Jesus' rest frees us to live from a place of acceptance and not striving. That's what separates Christianity from every other religion. It is finished. The most famous words ever spoken, It is finished. So whatever you're striving for, whatever you think you're lacking, remember, it's in His will where you'll find that peace. So here's some challenges for you today. Nothing crazy that you haven't heard before, but just something to put away as we go into the month of January and Pastor Angel continues to share about things that are related to this as we go into the State of the Union on the 19th. My challenge for you is to stop striving. Just stop, unplug, take a step back. Reflect on what you've been carrying that Jesus never asked you to and begin to lay it at His feet. I think of after Lazarus was raised from the dead in Scripture, and one of the sisters went and bought a super expensive perfume or aroma, however you want to say it, and she just poured it all over him and washed his feet. She laid everything that she was feeling from losing her brother, all the sorrow, all the anger, all the sadness, and she went to the one where she knew she could find peace. My challenge for you this month is to take just 5 to 10 minutes every single day and unplug. Unplug from whatever you find yourself plugged into way too much. And that's going to be different for each of us. I can't speak to what yours is. I can speak to what mine are. But I'm guessing you're thinking about them right now. And just take 5 to 10 minutes every single day to literally unplug. And fill that time instead with just either silence or a resource that I'll share with you here in a second, or however you connect with God. But I also want you to remember this, to walk in freedom, not just this year, but for every single day of your life that you have, that you're blessed with, because tomorrow is not guaranteed. Life can change in the snap of a finger. And remember that your worth is not tied to what you produce. Remember that. Like, we are called to create. I just talked about that at the very beginning, and I believe in using our creative gifts. But our production is not what God is seeking after. He's seeking after relationship, your heart, and your soul. And He wants you to live that out in rest with Jesus. Pastor Angel will talk about this the next couple of weeks, sharing how Jesus unplugged and what happened after that. He'll share different stories about that. But quit being exhausted because of the world's demands. And I know it's easy for me to say. I know some of us are in different situations where you're in a season where you got to grind. I don't want to be insensitive to that. Where you're working long hours. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not saying quit your job. I'm not saying go take a power nap. I'm not saying that you just need to get off whatever for 2 months and all that. This is different. This is a different kind of a rest. That's what I want you guys to catch. Remember the yoke. The yoke was put on two animals to do work. We're called to work, to do His work, but in His will, being led by Him. That's the difference. There's a famous poem that I'll summarize for you with one line. It says, "So many storms we see on the horizon never come to drench us in rain." Someone really smart wrote that, not me. But so many storms we see on the horizon never come to drench us in rain. We live so many times in our fears, our doubts, our anger, all of that. And we are being called to trust that Jesus, who carried the weight of the cross, literally and emotionally, spiritually, fill in the blank, He did it all, is strong enough to carry our burdens. I say it almost every time I step on a stage or wherever I get to speak at, that when we begin to live in our doubts and fears and anger and unforgiveness, we're belittling the cross. And I feel like that's the biggest disservice we could ever do as a creation. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is Samson, because he was just a stud. He was a little jacked up, but he was a stud. I think he was on steroids, the first guy on steroids. That's not true at all. For anyone who's going to get mad at me, like theology-wise right now, who are just mad that I said that. But he was obviously a strong man, right? And what I love some his last prayer, minus the part where he says, I want to basically, you know, destroy my enemies, the first part of his prayer. And he says this, God, strengthen me once more. God, strengthen us once more. You see, if you study Samson's story, he was a guy that struggled to live in God's will or the will of others. And he was just tormented his whole life because of it. That's a whole different series for a different day. But at the very last words, he found himself in the same space mentally and spiritually that Dante found himself in, where he was just desperate and said, God, strengthen me once more. I'm going to invite Armin and the team to come back up. I want to introduce to you to a resource that Pastor Angel shared with you guys that the Foursquare has done a great job creating. It's these books that you can get at the website. You can get them emailed to you every single day. That's probably the easiest way, in my opinion. You can sign up for it, and it'll be emailed to you each and every day. And what I love about this is the theme for these next 21 days is spirit-filled prayer. And I love that theme because it's in our spirit-filled prayer where we're going to find rest. It's in spirit-filled prayer where we're going to set aside the time that we need to recharge, unplug, however you want to say it. Because too many times we don't. And some of you may already have a quote-unquote devotional or routine. Great, stick to that. Keep running the race. But if you're looking for something, this is a great resource. But I want to read something to you out of the family version from the first day. This is from day one. It says, as a follower of Jesus, you don't have to try to become a new creation. You just are one. When you stay connected to God, the Holy Spirit will renew you and grow new life in you. You are a new creation. Not because it's 2025, but because of the cross. And guess what? Whether it's January, December, March, April, May, fill any month you want, you are a new creation. But my challenge for us is to stay plugged in as we unplug into the one who created us. Because throughout the year, throughout the stresses of life, throughout all the burdens that come with just life, no matter if you're in high school or you're retired, life never stops punching. This is more than a 12-round fight. See, our journey with Jesus, I said it earlier, is a never-ending adventure. And every great adventure has its ups and downs. It's called a movie. Not one of striving though, but one of surrendering. If I could leave you here today with one word, it's surrender. If I could summarize Dante's literature that he wrote back in 1300, it was all about surrendering his soul to the one thing that could give him rest. And that's still true to us today. Surrendering your soul, your time, your energy, your relationships, your fill in the blank to the one who can give you rest. The last thing I'll say is that Jesus is the one knocking at the door of your heart today. The same way, again, that I can't say it enough because I fell in love with the story when I was studying it this week. When Dante was knocking on that door, he asked for rest. What are you asking for today? What would you say? If you had the opportunity today to face Jesus face to face and knock on that door and he opened it and he said, what do you want? What would your response be? In his will is our peace. Let's pray. Jesus, we just thank you. I thank you that every day is an opportunity for us to acknowledge that we are made new because of the power of the cross, the power of the Holy Spirit. And God, I pray for all of us here today not just because it's January, the beginning of January, but just we want to acknowledge that we as a creation want to and need to and we're designed to surrender to you. To give up the anxiousness, the doubts, the fears, the hurts, the pains, the bad habits. We just want to surrender so that we can be filled with the one thing that can truly give us rest, and that is you. I pray for every person in this room, every person online, every person that isn't even here today, that we will choose to surrender to you in a new way this year. And that we would begin to pray about partnering with this local church, the Big C Church, and just you in general. And we will begin to ask ourselves, what is that going to be? When you answer the door, we will be ready to answer that question. What do you want? Fill our hearts with that answer today, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.